What is up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Real Sports Talk with Silos on the Real Talk with Silos podcast. I'm tripping on my words, man, because I am fuming off of this loss. This game is the most horrific officiated game I've ever seen in my basketball life. And I'm 25 years old. And there's been some bad ones. This has been a horrific officiated game. And say what you want, anybody out there, but we lost this game because of these calls in the first half. And that's just me. I have today my boy AJ. He's back again like he never left, because he hasn't. What up, man?
What's up, man? A tough night tonight. I guess we'll just jump right into it. You know, the thing is that when I look over the numbers for this game, there's only two statistical categories that stand out, and then there's one thing that stands out the most, which I think was the difference. Number one, Miami literally shot 19% from three-point land.
Yep.
19%.
They went 7 out of 36 in this game.
19% to Boston's 31%. Now, if the opponent is shooting 31%, you want that. But the fact that we shot 19% from three-point range is abysmal. We are the second best three-point shooting team behind Utah during the regular season. The second best. That means we are a top three shooting team. And 19% this game, and then last game, 27%, even though we won last game, that's just unacceptable, man. That is absolutely unacceptable.
And this is crazy because, and we'll get into it. Duncan actually had a really good game today. But like, this goes back to what I was saying to you before. And I agree with what you said before that we need Duncan. But whenever Duncan has these nights, we just tend to struggle. And I know it's not all on him. It's literally on these calls that we got, which were horrendous. Well,
you know what's so weird? During the regular season, it was so different. When Duncan was red hot, Miami was red hot. Bleacher Report did some stats. They crunched some stats, did some analytics. And with Duncan on the floor, Miami during the regular season, it's a 62-win team, you know. So, you know, it's...
But now, with that being said and all that, you got to remember, when that was made, that was when Kendrick Nunn was on the floor. Now that Kendrick Nunn is not on the floor anymore and it's not our starting point guard, it's a totally different team.
That's a fair point. I mean, that's a fair point because it was during the regular season. Dragic didn't start until the playoffs. So that's a fair point. But, you know, however, the fact of the matter is Dragic as an individual is a difference maker for Miami. And what it is that, I mean, even though Duncan had a solid first half, because he had 14 in the first half, but he finished the game with 20 points. He went 3-for-11, which is only 33% from three-point land today. And, you know, and honestly, I think that's, if I'm not mistaken, that might be the highest. Unless somebody else had way better. Okay, yeah, I'm looking. Tyler Hero went 2-for-5. I mean, listen to these three-point attempts. Jimmy Butler, 0-for-2. Crowder, 0-for-6. Duncan, 3-for-11. Dragic, 1-for-7. Hero, 2-for-5. Iguodala, 0-for-3. You know, Kelly Olynyk, 1-for-2. I mean, the three-point shooting was abysmal for Miami. And
it was horrible
for most of the season. For most of the season, and definitely for the playoffs, that's been Miami's bread and butter. So that's one thing. The three-point shooting was just not there.
Crowder couldn't find the basket today on the three-point shot. Yeah, he had to get his points off layups.
Crowder had wide open looks. And I'm happy that you know, eventually he just started cutting to the basket, because we need an inside-out game. Like, this is how we've been winning games. We've been winning games in the playoffs inside and out. We literally have been relying on that outside shot for the last three games, and literally we've lost two out of the last three games. I mean,
Duncan, most of Duncan's points came from layups today. Like, that's the crazy part about
you know,
all this.
So yeah, either layups or free throws or whatever. So Duncan had a solid first half. So another thing that I noticed too, for Miami free throw percentage, we shot below 80% from the charity stripe. You know, that's, you know, now mind you, you add those points up, you know, that's not the difference maker. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's so hard to point to officiating, even though I feel like if we use context, I always talk about context in sport. You know, the officiating was very questionable tonight. You know, I don't want to do a whole, I mean, it's your show, up to you, a whole segment on officiating.
No, I'm blaming them. It is what it is. I'm blaming them tonight.
If you just use the eye test, as they say, you know, it crippled Miami. Okay, because if we look across the board, Jimmy Butler ended the game with four fouls. Adebayo ended the game with five fouls. Duncan, four fouls. Dragic, six. He fouled out.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, so
Duncan Robinson, four.
Like, yeah, Duncan Robinson had four. So, I mean, this is what happens when you're almost, I'm not going to say afraid, but you don't want to get into foul trouble. But then you sacrifice your aggressiveness on defense, and literally that's what happened. You know, that's literally, if you look at the game, that's exactly what happened. Bam wasn't contesting shots. Bam was moving out. There was one where I actually almost had to turn the game off, where he actually got out of Jaylen Brown's way for him to make an open layup. I did not understand that.
I just don't get it.
You gotta contest that. I mean, I know they're calling fouls and everything else, but you gotta contest that. You know, make them earn it at least, you know? But that didn't happen.
I don't know about you, and I mentioned this to you earlier, but like, I really think Bam tonight was playing hurt, man. And yeah, the fouls had a big part into why he was playing so different. But he, like, just some ways he went up with the ball, he didn't look normal today. Like, he didn't. He looked lost on the court. He really did.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, knowing Spoelstra, if he was really that hurt that he couldn't play, he wouldn't play. You know what I mean? I mean, for the love of God, Spoelstra benched LeBron a few times, and LeBron wanted to play. You know what I'm saying? So I can't imagine Bam being that hurt that it was that it would have hurt the team, because then we look, then everybody would have to not look to Bam, but we would have to look to Spoelstra. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. It just, he did disjointed to me, Bam, you know, 38 minutes, 13 points, you know, I mean, just, it wasn't a good outing for Bam either. You know, another thing I noticed, of course, we already talked about fouls. You know, 29 personal fouls to Boston's 23. You know that.
Just looking at this with Kelly, he came in. He was effective, but with the 4 minutes he came in, he had two personal fouls.
Yeah, he got two fouls.
I said it in the last episode. We cannot strive. We cannot win with these foul situations, man. It's just not gonna happen. We need to be better.
It's very difficult, because let me tell you, in the third quarter there were questionable foul calls, but not questionable on the officiating side. I'm talking about questionable on the player side.
Yeah.
I mean, we were making fouls that just made no sense. I'm like, why are you fouling? You don't need to do that, you know? And it literally shifted the momentum for Boston. The game changed in the third quarter. That's really what happened. But the crazy thing is, then I look over the entire, you know, every major, all those categories I just mentioned, you know, I wouldn't call those major statistical categories, you know. So when I look at the statistical categories, we were damn near equal with field goal percentage.
Yep, we were,
We went
45.3 to Boston's 45.2.
Yes, like, but the main thing I saw was the rebounds. We got out-rebounded like I don't know what. 38 rebounds to Boston's 50. That is a lot. And especially offensive rebounds. They had 13 offensive rebounds. That's, if you got double-digit rebounds, that's an issue, you know what I mean, for the opponent. You know, if you could get, those are all second-chance opportunities that you get. 13 rebounds means 13 offensive rebounds means 13 opportunities, second-chance opportunity on offense. You know what I mean? That's too many. That's double-digit. And probably the main thing, like I said, there was one main factor, in my opinion, that I feel like decided the game. And this might surprise you a little bit, because I haven't said anything about it, even when we were preparing. But Jimmy Butler, I mean, you had 17 points in the first half, and you put up a donut in the second half.
He went 5 for 11.
Acceptable.
5 for 11, guys.
If you're the guy, you played 36 minutes tonight. You're the guy. Their guy played 43 minutes and got 31. Jason Tatum, to be honest with you, was the factor of the game.
Yep.
He was unbelievable tonight. You know what I mean?
And what's crazy is in the first half, he threw another donut in the first half because he only had about what? 8 points, 10 points to finish the first half.
But this is what I'm saying. The shots that he put in were big time, you know, and they came at pivotal times, especially during the third quarter when they went on that ridiculous 20-3 run. I'm like, this is absolutely crazy. Jaylen Brown, he had a quiet 28 points. A quiet 28 points. Okay, like I didn't even know Jaylen was
honestly, with Jaylen, I say that he was the big factor because Tatum, if you really look at this game, and even just by that, I will say the eye test, he was playing horrible. He was turning the ball over. It was really bad. This wasn't the same Jason Tatum that we've seen in the earlier season.
Well, here's the thing about it, and this is where basketball heads get into this debate because, you know, I feel like there's a difference between somebody that that impacts and plays the game well and somebody that impacts at the most pivotal times in the game. And Tatum, I can make the argument that Jaylen Brown, yes, probably the more impactful one, you know, but Jason Tatum, I mean, I just remember specific times when Boston needed to pull away and Jason Tatum gave him a bucket.
Yeah.
Miami Heat would come back and score three or score four. And Jason Tatum, bang, hit him with a three. Bang, hit him with a layup. Bang. They put him on the line, I mean, so many times. I think he went to the free throw line 14 times. He had 14 attempts at the free throw line. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. So that's where I'm saying for me, Jason Tatum was that factor because when it mattered the most, when the lights were brightest, he showed up. I can't say that for Jimmy Butler tonight. Jimmy Butler was absent.
And we could say it was because of the fouls and because of all this, but he needs to
say,
yeah.
You can say whatever you want, but the fact of the matter is you had 17 points in the first half and you put up a donut in the second half. This is an elimination game. That you got eliminated last year on an elimination game, okay? Like, you know, this is an elimination game. You need to close the game, seal the deal. This is what separates champions, okay? This separates champions because if you can't close the deal, you know what I'm saying, now, you know what I mean, then win. You have to go into the game with that mentality, like, we got to close tonight. We got to close now. Not saying that they didn't have that mentality, but the third quarter started and literally the switch flipped. I thought it was very interesting that Miami went to the zone in the second half where we didn't play zone the entire
game. Well, I was actually going to touch on that. My feeling is because starting the second half, our main players had about 2 to 3 fouls. So on each of them. So my understanding is we're playing zone because zone, it's a safe route when you're in foul trouble.
Yeah, and that's a great point because now you're relying on each other instead of relying on one-on-one.
Hey, exactly.
You know, so I absolutely get that. But you know, at the same time.
When it doesn't work, yeah, you got
to
change
it. You got to go back to it, you know. You just got to go back to it. So it was very bothersome, you know, just to watch. You know, Goran Dragic kept us above water in the third quarter. He exploded finally. Our bench, Spoelstra has to find a way to get others involved. I'm sorry.
Well, here's my thing with that too. And we spoke about this. I honestly need to figure out why is Myers Leonard not playing. Like, there has to be a reason. There has to be a reason why he's not playing. Why is Solomon Hill getting minutes on the floor? He got 7 minutes today. That's big for Solomon Hill. 7 minutes. And he literally has 0 points, two defensive rebounds. In total, he had three. He had one offensive, two defensive. And he had two assists. That is it. That's all he had.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
why is he on the floor?
I don't know. We know Kendrick played himself out of the game. Derrick Jones, I want to say he came in for about 5 seconds because, I mean, he gets in and then he just commits
one
the
foul.
Most ridiculous
Boom.
Foul.
It literally says 0 minutes, one foul. I mean, like, are you kidding me?
Literally the most ridiculous foul. I'm like, there was no reason for you to foul. No reason.
And
you know,
Iggy tonight. Iggy.
So to that, and then Iguodala. Here's another thing too. You know, that we talk about veteran play. You know what I mean? And you know our vets, because I'm putting Jimmy on that list. I'm putting Crowder on that list. You know, Iguodala, those three, and even Dragic, those four. You know what I'm saying? If you're not producing, you know what I'm saying? You can't expect the young ones to produce. You know, unless they're cut from that cloth like Tyler was the other night.
Yeah.
But again, remember what I said yesterday on the last episode. We can't depend on Tyler to do that again. Tyler, he scored 14 points. That is where we need him at. 14 yep. to 16
and,
points.
And he went field goal range. He went 6 out of 12. That's 50%, guys.
That's 50%. So, you know what I'm saying? So with Tyler, you know, Tyler, of course, compared to the last game, it wasn't as good of a game. But Tyler was where he was supposed to be. Is right where he's supposed to be. 14
with two fouls the whole game.
Yeah.
That's a really good game, honestly.
So having said that, I got to point to the top. I got to point to the guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I got to point to Butler. Butler put up a donut in the second half. That really, to me, was the biggest factor. That lost us the game.
Yep.
And Butler has to be more aggressive. It's just that simple.
You know, and it sucked that Crowder, he just could not find the hoop. Like, there was somebody put a lid on there. Like,
Wide open.
And then Iggy, he had that one flagrant foul that it was just like, dude, like, I get it, man. He pushed you or whatever. But, dude, this is an Eastern Conference final elimination game. We're already in a slump. Why are you putting us into this position that you're hitting him back to get it? Because it was a clear flagrant foul. At first, I was like, oh, like, you know, this is ridiculous. Why are you looking at it? But when I re-saw it, he literally, after he gets held and elbowed back from Tice or Dice, whatever his, you know, how you pronounce his name. But
they made that man look like an all-star.
Like Shaq. Like, Shaq.
Man, that was frustrating. That was so frustrating.
And then Enes Kanter. Oh my goodness. This guy came in here. Let me see. Enes Kanter came in for 10 minutes. The first possession when he came in, the first minute of him coming in, he had 4 points?
Yep.
And then he went up to 8 to then get 2 personal fouls. They had to put him on the bench. And then that's when Theis was like, yo, I need to come back in here. And it was just a whole different factor. Like, I honestly just didn't understand today's game. Today's game really frustrated me. And it annoyed me to the point to where, like, it's just... And I know it's going to sound controversial or whatever, but I like this game officiated wise was atrocious. It honestly was. It was honestly bad.
Sucked. I mean, it was too many bang bangs. You know, I hated the, it was a couple of calls that I really just was like, you know, that really annoyed me. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know,
Yeah, our guys did not stand.
They just did not show up, man. They did not show up. From Bam being just disjointed, Duncan going cold in the second half, essentially. You know, which 20 points is a lot from Duncan. You know, I'll take 20 points from Duncan. You know, Dragic finishing the game with 23 points, but I mean, the first half he wasn't present. You know, yeah. Jay Crowder tried to be.
He really tried to.
Yeah, he tried. You know, and like I said, he kept us above water. Jay Crowder going 0 for 6 from 3. Wide open threes, too, man. Wide open. And then Jimmy Butler putting on a donut in the second half. I mean, just, man, it was tough to watch.
It was really bad tonight. It was really bad, guys. Real quick, we're going to go on to a quick little ad break, and then we're going to get into some other stuff going around the league and the NBA. We're going to talk about some Lakers and Nuggets. But, yeah, guys, this was a hard one tonight. But we have another game on Sunday, and the Heat are going to be playing in the so-called home court. And, yeah, we're going to win it, and then we're going to beat whoever it is in the finals. So, yeah, we'll be right back, guys. What's up, you guys? Welcome back. So, with that being said, I didn't even get to ask you. Did you have any last second things to say about the Heat game?
No. You can't even tell, but I just that was frustrating to watch. So I'm good on the Heat. You know, hopefully we come out on Sunday with a different mindset.
Yeah, Jimmy just needs to come to play, man. And we thought that was today because he came in strong-hearted. But man, that needs. All right, so let's move on from that. So yesterday the Lakers almost lost this game. Now I'm gonna be real with you guys, like, I honestly think they should not have won this game. They almost lost. And I don't want to be that guy because I'm bringing up these calls. But, man, oh, man. Man, oh, man. Like, that one drive, I think I had called you once it happened, where literally Murray comes in and LeBron just literally hacks him to, like, another planet. And they didn't. They just let the game go, and they kept going.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy who keeps on bringing up the refs, man. But it's just so visible. And if I'm not a referee, and if I'm sitting here and I can see it, I'm not even a Nuggets fan. I'm not even a Lakers fan. And I'm saying the same consistent thing about these teams that I'm saying about the Heat. So it's like I just don't understand. Like, it just does not make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason why I have to point to officiating with the Nuggets and the Lakers game is the fact that it was made public that Rob Pelinka and Frank Vogel essentially contacted the NBA office, you know, with a video package saying, "Oh, LeBron got fouled here and didn't get it. You know, we're not."
No, no, no. Hold.
Oh yeah, you didn't hear that report?
No,
oh,
no. Yeah. Okay, can no, you no, have
that's
the
real thing?
Can you pull that report up right now? Is that possible?
Well, let's see. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep answering for a little bit. But you need to pull that up, and we're definitely talking about that because no. Okay, that's a red line, and I cannot have that. That's not gonna happen. You know, to real quick, running down some stats for the Nuggets, and I'll go over the Lakers stats too. But again, what I said last podcast, Paul Millsap, he's that guy you forget is on the team, but then all of nowhere he comes in and he only had 5 points, but those 5 points were pivotal at the end of the game to almost letting the Denver Nuggets come back and win. You know, she had 5 personal fouls, 3 assists, 6 rebounds in total. Yeah, that was oof. He went 2 for 2 from the free throw line. But Jay Grant, he went 6 for 13 from field goal range. He had 2 for 6 in 3 points taken, And he had in total 2 rebounds, 1 assist. He put up a nice, easy 17. But then again, 4 personal fouls. Jokic, 5 personal fouls. I mean, the only one who didn't foul a lot was Murray. And Murray had 32 points. He only had 1 foul. He had 4 turnovers, 1 block. He had 8 assists, 3 rebounds. He went 8 for 8 from the free throw line. He went 0 of 3 from the 3-point line, but then he went 12 of 20 from field goal range, guys, in 45 minutes. That is, yeah, that's pretty good. They definitely gonna need that again. I guarantee you. Let me see. Look, Plumlee went for 3 fouls. Craig went, had 5 personal fouls. Porter had 2. Now we're gonna jump over to wow, guys. So the Lakers right now, Anthony Davis had 2 fouls the whole game. LeBron James, 2 fouls the whole game. Dwight Howard, 2 fouls the whole game. Danny Green, 3 fouls the whole game. Caldwell Pope, 1 foul. Morris fouled out. He had 6. Kuzma, 1 foul. McGee, 0. Rondo, 3. And Caruso, 5. Are you kidding me right now? Did you just hear that stat, man?
Yeah.
Paul Millsap, 5. Grant, 4. Jokic, 5. Harris, 2. I mean, Murray, 1. Like, are you kidding me? You had Craig with 5. Plumlee with 3. 2. Like, this is ridiculous. This is honestly ridiculous, yeah. Guys. Were you able to pull that up or?
Well, yeah. Basically what Frank Vogel said was we're dealing with the fouls through the proper channels with the league. I think he's going to the basket very aggressively, and I'll just leave it at that. So that's what he said. On the 23rd, which is a couple days ago. This is what he said. You know what I'm saying? And upon listening today, some reports came out that they didn't write a letter that, like people said, but they kind of sent like a video package, you know, examples of where LeBron was getting fouled and didn't get the call. So, you know, essentially the way I see it, front office says, okay, you know, no problem. And, you know, they made sure LeBron got to the line. And, you know, unfortunately, superstar calls are just a part of the league. People complained about it with Jordan. People complained about it with Barkley. People complained about it with Bird, with Magic, with Kareem. You know, when you're that guy, you know, you get certain calls, you know. But what that does is that it kind of makes people resent, you know, especially the lower guys. It kind of makes them resent those guys with more status than them, because Jamal Murray got hacked a couple of times down the stretch yesterday. Anybody else would have gotten that call. You know, I like how, people were celebratory about LeBron taking the assignment of Jamal Murray, you know, like, I mean,
are you kidding me right now?
I mean, because for me, I mean, the difference is, and I mean, here's the thing. If you're the guy on your team and somebody on the other team is killing you, Jordan has set a precedent where, you know, he's like, you know what, I'm taking him. Like, I'm going to take him. You know what I'm saying? So LeBron was like, yo, I got him. I'm gonna take Jamal Murray, you know, even though he's, you know, a lot smaller than him. But perfect. That's what you're supposed to do if you're the guy. That's what you're supposed to do.
Hey, all I'm gonna say to that real quick is that I think LeBron's actually listened to the podcast, because you called him out last episode, yeah, about that.
Yeah. Because it's like at what point? But the thing is that when he did it, all I'm hearing today is how lethal a two-way player he is, and how he always takes the hard assignments. Literally, if you look over the years, that has not been the case for LeBron James. So, I mean, let's just stop it, okay? Let's just stop it. You know, like, I mean, I could point to many a times, especially in the finals when the likes of Tony Parker, really showed up on LeBron James, when the likes of Jason Terry and you could easily say
Kevin Durant when he and yeah. I'm talking about Kevin Durant when he was in the Thunder, not even in the Warriors.
Yeah, but especially when he got to the Warriors, though, you know, like with the Warriors, it was crazy, you know, because I look at game three of the 2017 finals, and it was, you know, you went to LeBron's house and KD comes down and hits a J. I mean, in his grill. I mean, just unbelievable, you know? And then KD, and this was in Cleveland. I mean, you know, so this is not a podcast to talk about LeBron, but we're talking about a takeaway from the game. It's just very simply put, LeBron did what he should have been doing this whole series and that is taking Jamal Murray. He should have been doing that, you know? And unfortunately, none of the other guys were really clicking for LeBron to have to worry about the other guys, because truth be told, if the others stepped up, you know, I don't think LeBron would have taken that assignment. You know, he would have had to focus on his own position. So, you know, with Denver, you know, Denver's down 3-1. You know, we've seen this story twice already, so we'll see if they got another thing. See if they got another comeback in them.
Real quick, Jokic scoring 16 points, like he's one of their superstars, and Paul Millsap only scoring 5 points. Like, come on, man.
Paul Millsap, I'm not expecting much from him. He's an old guy.
He needs to average at least 10 points though for them. Yeah, he's a starter. Yeah. 10 points, but 16 for Jokic, really.
They need more from him. Jokic. I mean, has Jokic put up a triple double this playoffs?
I'm not sure. I don't
remember the last time I heard he put up a triple double during the playoffs. So,
Was it against the?
If it was against anybody, I would think it's against Utah because they had Wars. So again. Denver, man, you know, let's see what happens. You know, I believe they play tomorrow night, so let's see what happens with them. It's tough as a fan, you know, of the game of basketball. It's just, you know, looking at the officiating and whatnot, and, you know, getting the superstar calls, it's just part of the game, and I think basketball fans have to accept that, you know. Human error is a part of the game. You know, we got to just accept that. You know, and at the end of the day, there are other things that you can point to.
For sure.
You know, you realize officiating is not the only thing that makes a team lose. You know,
I do have to say about this series. They cannot. I don't. If I'm the Lakers, I'm not celebrating until it's over. I'm not, because say what you want, but you can't sleep on this Denver team. I'm sorry, you can't, because they can turn it on, and they've shown they should have won last game. They've honestly should have won that game, and you know, push them to shove, stuff happened, they didn't go their way, but it was a very close game the whole game. The whole game it was a close game. So I'm seeing them come out for this elimination game, and just I see them balling this series, this next game. If I'm the Lakers fan, man, I am not, by no means am I celebrating. Not yet. Not till we see 0-0
they gotta close it out. Anthony Davis, I heard too, is questionable because of his ankle.
Oh, that's not a good sign.
And that's definitely not good. I don't care what anybody says. They're not beating Denver without Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Because he's literally been the guy.
Yeah.
Okay? Truth be told, he's been the guy this series.
And he had a quiet game last game, to be real. He had a very quiet game last game, which was why the game was so close. But the fact of the matter is he was still in the game, so he made a difference. But if it turns out that Anthony Davis does not play tomorrow, yikes. I think Denver's coming back, guys. Yeah. So, guys, any last thoughts on that, on anything?
My last thought, and I think my last takeaway just to the Miami Heat fans, man, I mean, we've been here. I think we've been spoiled this playoff.
Yeah, we have.
We've only lost now 3 games. All right. Yeah. So, you know, let's not be spoiled. Let's not, you know, be down about this loss. We hated this loss because we really just wanted to close out Boston and send Beantown packing, you know, but we could do it on Sunday. I believe that Miami really, really just needed a complete retooling. I think when they watch film, I think Spo was upset at one point, but I'm pretty sure he's upset most of the second half, but there was one where he was animated when he called timeout.
And look, one thing we didn't touch on that I honestly love about our team, and it's something that I've mentioned in a lot of past episodes, that our veteranship, especially with Udonis Haslem, the way he, it's pretty much like UD is the coach. Because there's times where Eric Spoelstra's not there, he is there. Like, he is there and he is talking to his boys, his goons, and telling them, what the hell are you guys doing? You need to put your foot down. We need to win this game. That is what he's telling them. And it's just like, that is such a beautiful thing to see, man. And all I'm saying is, towards the end of this game, I don't know if you saw it, but they did a quick little flash over to Udonis Haslem. He was mad. Like, it looked like he is going to go in. Like, he's probably, as we speak right now, he's probably yelling at everybody and telling them, what the heck is going on, guys? You know, like, so that to me, I feel like that's where we're always going to excel in a lot of situations because of our veterans. So
Well, we'll see game 6. You know, we'll see what happens. And, but I believe Miami's going to come out with a completely different mindset. I love how they started the game today. They just couldn't close. And when you couldn't close, when you can't close, you got to look at the guy. And the guy didn't give us anything. I mean, he gave us nothing.
He couldn't. That normal little come down dribble and mid-range jump shot, he was in the front of the rim every time. There's one time where he airballed it.
Yeah, he gave us absolutely nothing. So I got to look at the guy. So I just hope Jimmy Butler comes out. I need a 40-point performance from Jimmy.
Yep.
That'll take it away. But that's my last takeaway. I'm not going to waste time with Lakers and Denver because I've seen this story before. So.
All right, guys. I know this is a little short one, man, but we just wanted to get into the nitty-gritty, man, because this was – this was a tough one, man, and it's time to, we let it out, we express what we felt, man, and we just pushed it away. AJ, go ahead, man, plug in your stuff, man.
Hey, guys, you already know, appreciate the platform, CeeLos, follow me, AJ_SMG_, got some music coming up next weekend, almost, it's here, and then, of course, my Me Versus Me EP in a couple weeks, and then, of course, this interview with CeeLos coming up, we'll have an official announcement hopefully soon, but
I'm looking for Sunday after our Heat analyzation. I'm gonna reveal the date and all that stuff. So
absolutely, sounds good, man. Appreciate you, CeeLos.
Yes sir. Guys, before I do my plugs and all that stuff, I just want to remind everybody, go out there, man, vote. I'm going to say it one more time. Vote. You need to go out there. Make your decisions, man. Because if you're sitting there, you're not doing anything. You're not helping the cause at all. Just go out there and vote. So you could go follow me on the Real Talk with CeeLos all over every platform, Instagram, Twitch, YouTube, all that good stuff, Facebook. Go follow me. I'll follow you guys back. And with that, we'll go ahead and we'll end today's episode. Tough loss, but we're coming back Sunday with that win. And we're going to make the truth hurt even more. All right. Peace.